guide and host for the Shift the Story podcast, where we share tips and tools for making shifts in our lives from the inside out. Years ago, when Dell and I started thinking about making videos for his business and then putting them up on his website, we were both completely stumped. We had no idea how to do it. So I did the obvious thing. I Googled it and was lucky enough to find my guest today who really, really, really knew how to do it. Not only that, he knew and knows how to explain it. Who is this magic person? It's Dave Kaminsky, the founder of Web Video University. But this podcast is not about making videos. It is about shifting stories. And Dave's story about how he built the life he wants to live can be applied to whatever you want to do. The primary key that he shares, do it and be it with authenticity. Right? Right. Listen to Dave as we shift the story together. Dave, and Dave, as I said to you, I am just so delighted that you said yes to be on this podcast, because I don't think many of my listeners know about you, and I just can't wait to introduce you. Years ago, I was looking for some way to figure out how the heck you put video on websites, because my husband does video stuff, and we were wanting to put it on there, and I clueless, and I ran across your email list, signed up, and I remember saying to Dell, oh my God, this guy really knows what he's talking about, and I understand it. So we, for years, have used your courses and learned how to do things, and my questions today for you really is, you can go anywhere you want with this, but how did you get started on doing that? Because I don't think you started that way. And then I've noticed through the years that you so easily shift to where it's going, instead of so many of us just hold on to, oh, I did it that way before, so I'm going to just stay that way. But you seem to just keep moving with the flow, and I admire that so much. So that's kind of where I wanted you to start, and we can go from there.
Sure. First, thanks for the introduction. I definitely did not have the most direct path to what I do. I actually sold my first item online, I think it was in 1992 or 1993. That was still back when we had America Online, the dial-up connections.
Yes.
And I think it was a bronze statue or something. It was a physical product, and I sold it for $400 to someone in Hawaii. And I made $100 and some odd on it. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. Here I've, made $100 today, from a guy, 8,000-9,000 miles away, whatever it was. And so that's what got me started. Mm-hmm. And initially what I did was actually ebooks. And the way I fell into that was, I started with actual physical books because ebooks weren't available. I had started trying to sell physical products, and back then the credit card fraud detection was non-existent. So I kept getting, basically ripped off. So I needed to come up with some type of product that I could maybe sell online that wasn't as risky. And so I decided to do books. And what I would do is I would come up with a topic, just pull it out of wherever. And then I would go to the library and spend a few weeks researching it, become an expert on it, so to speak. And then I would write a book on it. And that went fairly well for a long time. But the big shift happened in the late 90s when ebooks became something that you could do, and online transactions were something that you can do. And as soon as that happened, I switched my physical books to ebooks. And, sales kind of went through the roof, and I learned a lot of valuable lessons at that point too. The biggest one is, which I still teach people today, which is, anytime you have success with something, it's guaranteed that you're going to get lots of competitors. And that's what happened to me. where people were basically ripping me off. They were taking my sales pages, sometimes word for word, and just, you know, putting another site. And so I got all this competition, and I thought, well, you know, something at some point I need to change this. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And in a roundabout way, video became something that was doable. YouTube was still kind of brand new, and video was still shot on cameras that recorded on tape, and everything was standard definition, and mobile devices didn't exist. But at least you could do a little bit with video. And what I had started doing, kind of in the background, what had happened was people had seen the ebooks that I was selling, and they're asking me, hey, who's doing your marketing? Who's writing your sales copy and stuff like that? And I always did my own. So I had like this little side business as kind of like a freelance copywriter. And some of my clients they were doing direct mail and they wanted videos too. And video was always like a hobby of mine. So I was able to produce videos for them. So getting back to the point, when video became available online, that's kind of where the light bulb went off. And I thought, you know, I could sit here and maybe offer to make videos for other people, but I think it would be smarter just to teach them what I know. And so that's the route I went. And my main site, I think it was 2007, 2008 is when I started it. And no one knew who I was. No one had ever heard of me because I never put my face on any of my products before then. It was always just a nameless sales page. So I basically started from zero, and fortunately it took off right away. And from that day to this one, I mean, the changes with video have been, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Everything that's changed. It was just literally yesterday I got an email from one of my first students way back in he signed up way back 2007, 2008. And he's gone on and he runs a 7-figure business now doing video. And he was joking that, when he came to me, he was literally making videos sitting at his kitchen table with his kids on each side of him. And the videos were horrible. So we kind of laughed about that. But beyond just the technology changes, one of the big things these days is people selling video courses. Everyone out there seems to have a course on how to sell video courses. And what I'm seeing is there's distinctly two different groups of people. There's like, I call them the good guys and the bad guys. The bad guys, they just want money and they're just putting out whatever product, trying to make money. And then there's a smaller select group of good guys who actually put love, so to speak, into what they're doing and what they're teaching people. And they actually know what they're talking about. And so, for example, your audience who might be listening and they're thinking, what should I sell online? Should I do maybe an online course? Whatever they're thinking, what I always try to push people towards is do it with authenticity. Don't, just go after the money, because you're not going to have any longevity these days if you're just putting stuff out there where you're trying to make a quick buck. The competition is too fierce. People are too smart these days, social media, all that stuff. You've got to be someone who is legitimate, who's in it for the right reasons, or you're not going to last.
I love that, be authentic. And I think that's what pulled us to you in the beginning, because I had looked at other people who were talking about doing video and read some of their things, and it seemed like they're talking about, they're going to be here today and gone tomorrow, and they're not telling the actual how do you do it. I really felt that what you were doing, it was coming from like, this is who I am and I love doing it. And it just got better and better as you went along. And I remember you showing us on your courses some things like, oh, I never would have figured that out without you. So yeah, I understand what you're saying. Do it because you love it. And then when it works, it's great. And if it doesn't, you still love it.
Yeah. And even when I started with the video stuff, I was, if not the first, I was one of the first, teaching how to do video online. And then a year or two later, boom, here's all these competitors. And I knew they weren't going to stick around. And I can say now, 8-9 years later, that my initial competitors back then, they don't exist anymore. The guys went in to get the money and they made their money and now they're off doing other things. So longevity, if you want to do anything online, you got to think in terms of longevity.
That's probably true for everything. If you want to do anything, you think longevity. It's sometimes it happens overnight and sometimes it doesn't. But just to be in and out, that's not the kind of business I want to do. And I love that you don't want to do that either. So how do you move along with the business? Because it's changed so much, as you said, right from when you started, and here it is, and it's hardly any years went by, but it's so different.
Yeah. Initially, what I did was I just paid attention to what was changing in the markets and what was changing in marketing and what other big businesses were doing. For example, I pay attention to someone even as big as Apple, where a couple of years ago they started using stop motion videos for their commercials. When I saw that, I thought, well, I'll come out with a course to teach people how to do stop motion video. So that's an example of how I did it early on. But since then, in the more recent years, it's more of a personal or creative thing where instead of, hey, this is happening in the market, I come up with my own spin on things where, hey, I think, this is something that you should try, or, do things this way. So I'm coming up with my own original ideas rather than just what I see going on in any particular market.
Yes. And the other thing that I didn't say in the beginning that I wanted to talk about, but now that you're saying all that and how much work you do, you also have a family don't you have kids in the background there? How do you balance that?
Actually, my family is cats.
Okay, you balance it with cats. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's so much easier than kids.
Yeah, just one human child, but I won't go into the story of how I ended up with six cats. But yeah, it was never the intention, but I actually have six cats. And like most people who earn their business online, I work out of my home. So, I'm around basically six little children all day long, who basically need everything from me. So as far as balancing, how do I do this? I literally schedule my days almost like a doctor would, where I have one of the day minders, and it's from 6 to 7, this is what I do. From 7 to 8, this is what I do. And I started doing that technique a few years ago, because when you're working for yourself and you're working from home, it's really easy to get distracted and not do things. And so I just came up with a formula where I'm scheduling my day usually like in 45 minute blocks. And that allows me to work on multiple projects throughout the day where I'm not getting burned out at any one project. And then after a few weeks, it's like, wow, they're all done. So that's kind of my little secret. I literally schedule my day like I was a physician, seeing a patient, every 45 minutes or whatever.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I just finished teaching a class about how to do things when you're stuck. And that was one of those things that I said, if you just schedule, I love that you schedule your day like a doctor. A lot of people are going to be listening going, oh my God, I can never do that. But I really think that works. But that piece about do a little bit and then do a little bit and then do a little bit and it's done. That is like magic to me, because I can't do one thing I would be so bored.
Yeah.
Break it up.
Yeah. And the cool thing when people get kind of taken aback by, hey, schedule like a physician. Well, what you're not realizing is you can schedule in the stuff that you want to do, the fun stuff that you want to do. That goes into your schedule too. But going back to the little bits thing, that's actually, there's a Japanese principle called Kaizen, and it's something that I've followed forever. And it basically, to put it in simple terms, it's, do things in little chunks and it leads to great things. If you eat a donut every day for a year, you're going to put on 20 pounds. But if you do positive things just a little bit at a time, then it's not difficult. And then before you know it, you've achieved it. And so that's something that I constantly do. That kind of the key is just to keep moving, because it's really hard to get started with something. But if you're doing just a little bit every day, then you're actually moving and it becomes much less painful.
Oh, yes. And that, I love that part about scheduling your own stuff. And most of the people that listen to these podcasts do work from home and have their own business. And that I started doing years ago, too. It's like I scheduled appointments with myself. And then when someone would say, can I have an appointment? I could say, no, I have an appointment. I didn't have to say who it was with.
Yeah.
It was me.
Yes.
And that's, you really have to do that, because otherwise you get burned out too fast and you won't be able to continue the way you have. And that's the other thing I loved about your videos, is that you do them in your home. And so it's so personal. And I don't know if you did that on purpose, but that really, to me, that really helps.
Yeah, it was a little bit on purpose, a little bit because it works best for me. The on purpose part, that's something I've always taught people, like we've already touched on, you know, authenticity. You know, I don't like it when people do like green screen where they try to make it look like they're in a fancy office or whatever. You know, that just doesn't work anymore these days. People are too smart. So, you know, I think shooting from your desk or on your, in your living room or whatever, that works best. And at one point several years ago, I actually leased a big studio, and the idea was, okay, I'm going to make all my videos there and I can have all my equipment there and it's going to make my life easier. And it turned out it was just such a hassle driving all the way there and this, that, and the other thing, that it was just easier just to set up a camera. Hey, I'm at my desk. The camera's right there. Just turn it on and I can make the video, and it's going to take me 15 minutes rather than an hour and 15 minutes. So it was a little bit on purpose, and then a little bit, even when I had the option not to do it, I decided to go ahead and keep doing it anyway.
Yeah, and you know, boy, it also helps, and I'm sure you know this, but it helps because when we first started doing it, we thought, well, if you can light your house so that those videos look good, we could do it in our house. And that made it better too, because instead of thinking we had to go somewhere else and hire people and get lights, we could just do it within our own space. And you show that you can, because your videos look awesome when you're doing them. So
yeah, and a fun little fact for you, most of my videos I'm just using natural light that comes in the windows. I have in my great room or living room, whatever you want to call it, I have, you know, the big windows like most houses do, where there's just a ton of light coming in. So, you know, I don't need to set up lights at all, but the catch is, you know, I've got to shoot during, you know, a certain time during the day while the light's good in that room. You know, I can't make them at videos at night or anything like that.
Yeah. And you also, you're in the East also, aren't you?
I'm in Midwest, Indiana.
Indiana. Well, then you have the same problem we do, is you also have to shoot when there's not a lot of lawnmowers going on.
Yes. Yes. Lawnmowers, dogs barking, flying overhead. Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to find, if a rainy day, a light rainy day is a good day, because no one's out making noise outside.
Exactly. So thankfully my neighbor cut his lawn yesterday, or else we'd probably be hearing a lawnmower behind me right now.
And it's raining today here, so I would have had the same problem. So we adjust. So I would love that you would let people know how they can find you. I will put all the information to find you and all your links to your classes and anything else you want me to link to in the notes for this podcast. But since a lot of people listen in their car, do you want to tell them where they might be able to find you?
Yeah. What people can do is they can just go to webvideouniversity.com. And when you go there, you'll, on the homepage, I'm giving away a free course. There's no catches if you want to sign up for it. And I walk people through, you know, kind of the basics of what they would need to do to make some initial money with web video. And it's, the course is probably, I think it's over 30 lessons long. Again, it's absolutely free. And it gives people not only the opportunity to learn the stuff, but to kind of get comfortable with me and to get to know me as an instructor and all that good stuff.
Yes. And I think I have said a bunch of times that you are an awesome instructor. So I highly recommend people do that. So I always ask this one last question of everybody. It'll probably come out of left field here for you, but I think you'll have an answer. So here's the question. What is the one piece of advice that you would give anyone else who is in the midst of changing a life story?
Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep breathing. Keep going forward. That's easy.
That's a really good piece of advice, and so easy to follow. It sounds so easy. 5 minutes at a time. Keep moving 5 minutes at a time, right? Break it up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you being on the call, Dave. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
Sure, it was fun. Thanks for having me, Becca.
Thank you. value your time and schedule your days as if you were a physician and keep moving with authenticity. No matter what kind of life you are designing for yourself, these tips from Dave are powerfully effective. Be sure to visit theshift.com/podcast or theshift.com/Dave Kaminsky to find all Dave's links. Thank you, Faye Christie, for commenting and sharing your thoughts on so many of these podcasts. We love, love, love hearing from all of you, and I thank you for sharing these podcasts with others. If you feel like sharing more, we would appreciate it. Not just our podcasts, but other people's too. In the meantime, let's continue to shift the story together.